comic books and the cartoons, TV shows, and movies that they've inspired are an enduring part of pop culture. And while young people are a primary target for them, a lot of adults anxiously look forward to the next movie or the next comic book to come out.
For a lot of people, it's only recently that they've started to see any number of superheroes who look like them on the page or on the screen. One recent example, a show that features an African-American superhero, Luke Cage, on Netflix.
Give us the money.
Yo, I don't like your tone.
Excuse me?
You're being disrespectful. It's unnecessary.
And our next guest has learned from his own experience that it's important for young people who don't normally have a lot of power to see themselves reflected.
Ryan Wynn is with us now. He teaches English, theater, and communication at the College of Menominee Nation in Keshena, Wisconsin, where he's been recognized as the American Indian College Fund's Faculty Member of the Year. Ryan, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. I'm really happy to be here, and what a great topic to be discussing.
Ryan, why do you think that comics and these superheroes in general are a good window for us to look through to view society and what's going on in culture in general?
Yeah, well, I think that the thing about comic books is for every generation, they reflect what's going on in the society. So you think of course, Captain America starting off punching Hitler in the 40s. And I really think the evolution of Batman shows it, with Adam West talking about this Cold War kind of fighting the bad guys there, to the Reagan era excess, the Tim Burton. And I wrote about this in the column I published. But if you look now at the current movies, it's representing in the last Dark Knight series, the Occupy Wall Street movement, and even now with the Suicide Squad, which I'm sure we're going to get to, it talks about kind of an anti-hero, which we're almost seeing in this idea, of course, with an age of Snowden and people speaking out as whistleblowers, and sometimes with questionable morals and ideas. And I think that comic books has always been a great way to reflect that for society to talk about.
It seems like, as you're pointing out there, that the storylines have changed, the political tensions and the cultural focuses, that's definitely evolved and changed over the years. What about the people who are fighting, who might be the bad guys or the bad gals? Are the superheroes themselves changing to reflect a more diverse society?
Absolutely. I mean, it's certainly improving, and especially just fleshing them out so they're not a one-dimensional character. Of course, you guys just played a part of the Luke Cage series on Netflix, which is just wonderful in the Marvel Universe. And, of course, we're seeing Black Panther and some other wonderful storylines coming out. And that's certainly progress. There's some ways to go, of course, but it certainly seems to be that we're entering in to really a wonderful time for seeing diverse actors and diverse characters, really in all media, but specifically in this medium.
You mentioned the movie Suicide Squad, and these are kind of anti-heroes in a way, but there was a character there that caught your eye, Slipknot. Tell us about that movie and that particular character.
Well, in the movie, of course, talks about, as I mentioned, these anti-heroes, and hate to have a spoiler alert here, but if you haven't seen it, I apologize. But it's they are sprung from jail to defend the society with an absence of heroes, and they're implanted so if they stray too far, they don't make it. And Slipknot, played by Adam Beach, wonderful native actor, one of the best, he becomes the cautionary tale for the film. But that shouldn't negate the fact that it was a native character who was cast, who did a wonderful job, a phenomenal actor. And I think really what we're getting at here, and the idea is just minority groups seeing themselves reflected in the media and society. And then not only that, but being cast in roles that are typically, even though maybe written for minority characters, have non-minorities casted in those roles. And we're not seeing that as often now. It's not perfect, but we're moving in the right direction.
Well, what do you think it does mean to young people and students, and maybe beyond that too, adults who are out in the world and already through school? What does it mean to those people to see, say, a person of color who looks like them?
I think that it's very empowering to see someone that looks like you. Of course, for children, to see someone and to look at the idols, the groundbreakers and whatnot, who they see, okay, this is someone who is from my ethnic background, who has my whatever demographic, social economic status, from my state, and doing these things, and so maybe I can do it. And just to have that mirror of society. But then, of course, even for people from a different minority group to be able to look and to not focus on the stereotypes, but seeing an empowering roles. And I think that at a time when I think people are being reduced, and just as human nature, to just one or two facets, I think that seeing these more diverse characters is a great way to show the diversity, the color, the potential, the wonderfulness that can be found in all of us.
Ryan Wynn is with us right now from the College of Menominee Nation, and we're talking about why having diversity reflected in superheroes is important for students and society.
We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Growing up, was there a superhero that you felt reflected who you were, your experiences? If not, do you think it would have made an impact? If there was somebody like that, is there a character in a movie or TV show or book or comic book that has helped you or your child develop more self-confidence because they could really relate to them? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're picking up our discussion now with Ryan Wynn. He teaches English, theater, and communication at the College of Menominee Nation in Keshena, Wisconsin. Recently wrote an article about the importance of diversity in superheroes. And we'll take our first phone call now. We've got Glenn joining us in Waukesha. Glenn, hi.
Hi. I wanted to ask about superheroes which are maybe white in the comics and have been changed in the movies, for instance, Johnny Storm in the Fantastic Four movie. Do you think that's valuable, or do you think it's more valuable to have characters that are black or Hispanic originally, if you see what I mean?
Sure, Glenn, thanks for that question. And what do you think about that question, Ryan?
You know, I appreciate the question, of course. I think that's a really good conversation piece. And to be honest with you, I think they did a good job with casting someone from another minority group, not just from, you know, the Caucasian society. But I say this too, that I think what we're really thinking about here with it is, with a plot line, is it's reflecting society. I mean, we're talking about art, we're talking about fiction. And so what we're really looking at is just more an ability for people to look at the art and see a reflection of themselves. So I don't think it's so much as being true to an origin story as a true to the potential heroics that we see in society. And, of course, that comes from, in America, from our diversity. So I am all for having a diversity that reflects what makes us great and, of course, our art.
Glenn, thank you for that. And, Ryan, I've been thinking about the superhero pantheon. I have not seen or viewed all of it by any means. I've seen a chunk of, you know, the movies that have come out. And aside from Slipknot, there really haven't been, at least to my memory, other Native characters. Do you think that that's something Hollywood could do better at?
Absolutely. It's something that they could do better at. And, of course, that goes across all minorities. And so when we see the Oscars So White campaign from last year, and just this idea, of course, of underrepresentation. But again, I think that it's just limiting us as a society. And I do want to say specifically with Native Americans, there are wonderful Native comics. And so I think, of course, of Aragon Starr, who's a Kickapoo artist, who I think is just wonderful. And she is doing so much great work with Super Indian and Tales of the Code Talkers, and just wonderful stories that are for all ages and all audiences. So there is material out there. It's just taking these and giving them development deals and going beyond, you know, the people in the know, and hopefully our listeners out there are going to Google and looking up the Native Reality site that talks about some of these great artists and writers.
Let's take another caller now. We've got Brett joining us in Stoughton. Brett, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
I wanted to make a comment. One of the comic heroes that I actually enjoyed reading about is an ongoing online series called Spinnerette. And what I like about that is it happens to take place in my hometown of Columbus, Ohio. And it's not like it's there's no tragic backstory. It's a very regular protagonist, and I just it's to me it's interesting that it's from where I'm from, so to speak.
And so that makes it more
realistic,
his home to you.
Sort of.
Yeah, realistic. Yeah. Thank you for that, Brett. And if someone talking about Brett there, the series taking place in his hometown, and I think that makes it more resonant for him. I mean, is there a way for people to have that sort of more local feeling in their entertainment when everything is produced in, you know, big content factories, usually on the West Coast?
You know, I think this is where art in a small community or even a large community is just so important. I think that when in our society, of course, with social media, which is wonderful, and it's a great outlet and a great support system, but I think people coming together and supporting each other, whether it's in theaters or writers groups or at libraries or in conversations like the one that we're having, and just saying, we value this art, we value this perspective, we value things that represent the diversity of what makes our country and our state so wonderful. And I think that seeing that and hearing that for people who perhaps aren't as engaged in sports or are looking for beyond that is just a piece that, again, we couldn't quantify the potential return on that investment.
Going back to some of the work, the art that's being produced, the storytelling from Native American writers and creators, are there places that you think the rest of us should know about, artists that we could start looking at and start bringing some of these voices to the forefront?
I like starting with the Native realities, as I mentioned, with Aragon Starr. I just think her story of Super Indian is just really wonderful, and I just think that is really a great place to start, because it's good for all ages. But, you know, if you look beyond that, there are some other great series as well. And it's not entirely new. So if you go back to in the 1990s, we had the Tribal Force. It was John Proudstar produced. And so, you know, this has been a slow burn. But I think that those Native realities is really bringing that together. And then from there, you'll find links to conferences. And then you can really go wherever your palate takes you to. But again, Aragon is really, for me, a great starting point for anyone.
What do students tell you about what it means when they see that diversity in the art that they're consuming, whether it's superheroes or whether it's something else?
You know, I think that it's a real positive thing that it comes out of every conversation. I do want to say that when I teach my students, 80%, vast majority, minority students, is this idea that that they've gotten used to not seeing themselves reflected, so that when they have these opportunities to engage with the stories, that, of course, it resonates for them. And I just think that that's great for them to see that, to have that potential, and, of course, the investment to the future. One other thing that I wanted to bring up for that other 20%, I often say to my students, you know, there's 7 demographics that divide us, and just how boring I think the world is if we only talk to people who have the same values, the same ideas, the same concepts, and are the same as us. And I just think, again, the diversity in America, and again, across our state, is just wonderful. And let's celebrate that. And let's look for stories that engage all of us and bring that strength to the forefront so we all can partake in it.
It's a great place to leave it. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's truly my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
That was Ryan Wynn. He teaches English, theater, and communication at the College of Menominee Nation in Keshena, Wisconsin, where he has been recognized as the American Indian College Fund's Faculty Member of the Year.